Chapter 8. Respect the News. Having a proven strategy and executing that strategy with precision ensures success. Right? Wrong. There is still one wild card that has the power to quickly sabotage your plans and destroy your business. That element is the news, and you must not underestimate its significance. If Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan makes some unexpected public statements about the economy, expect the market to respond. When terrorists succeed in one of their diabolical plots, hold on because there's going to be a rough ride ahead. When a regularly scheduled significant economic report is published, expect the market to take notice. Nothing ignites or extinguishes the financial markets like the news. Every trader needs to be aware of two types of news: breaking news events and scheduled economic reports. A news event may not sound economic, but it may nevertheless profoundly affect the markets. Political, social, and military events have the ability to greatly impact the financial and economic landscape. If an influential world leader is overthrown, if war is declared, if there's a peaceful conclusion to a hostile or volatile world situation, or if any of hundreds of other events occur, the financial markets will likely respond quickly and firmly. The impact of such news may be minor and fleeting, or it may be major and long-lasting. There's no way to know in advance. News is the big unknown factor lurking above the market. Therefore, you have to prepare for news. Obviously, breaking news surprises traders. There's no way to know that a terrorist attack will occur on a certain date or that a world leader will be assassinated. There's simply some degree of surprise that is inherent in trading. And the news is one such surprise. However, a great deal of economic data are published on a regular basis, and it is possible to know when these scheduled economic reports are being issued. It just requires a little research and planning. Various governmental departments and educational and financial institutions regularly issue a vast array of economic reports. The trick is in predicting the market's response to these reports once they are issued. Therefore, don't do it. As every trader knows, it is impossible to predict the market's response to news. Sometimes news will appear to be good, yet the market will respond in a negative fashion. On other occasions, the news will seem bleak, but the market surges up because institutional investors and the public were prepared for even bleaker news. Therefore, trading the news is risky business, and I do not advise that you do so. I do, however, recommend that you be aware of the variety of economic news reported and that you always know when scheduled news is breaking. Again, educating yourself is the key. Find an economic calendar and check it before your trading week begins. You get the information from Barron's, the Wall Street Journal, DTI, or some other source. When I consider market-moving news events that have occurred during the last several years, the most significant, bar none, is September 11, 2001. It was Tuesday, and I had a class of advanced trading students at my school in Alabama. I do not remember the exact time, but sometime after 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, we entered the futures market. The markets looked strong, and the indicators reflected their strength. We were long the E-mini S&P futures from 1098 even. The trade was going our way, and the S&P had risen to 1102 even. Our protective stop was sitting at 1100. And we were sure we had money in the bank from this one. I was standing at the front of the class teaching. Our head instructor, Jeff Smith, was sitting with the students and watching the market data. In the front of the classroom, we have a very large screen that displays our roadmap software and gives us real-time market quotes. At around 7:45 a.m., Jeff noticed that the market was acting oddly, and he called it to our attention. The S&P had shifted, and it had started moving down rather quickly. We had already taken some profits from the market, and we had adjusted our protective stop with the upward movement of the S&P. As the market began acting up, our protective stop was hit. We were surprised and wondered why the market had shifted so fast. In the absence of news, it was an unusual move for this time of day. I have two TVs in my classroom that are on at all times. Although we are watching, we are not listening. Breaking news is very important in trading, and just knowing we have a watchful eye on the world is usually enough. But not on this day. There were no scheduled economic reports being issued at this time, but I knew there was news somewhere. I had seen this type of move before, and I knew it was generally associated with news, so I asked Jeff to step out of the classroom and see if there had been some breaking news. A few minutes later, Jeff returned and notified the class that a jet had hit the New York Twin Towers. By this time, the news had made it to the TVs in the classroom, and we saw the smoke and the destruction. But we were still not thinking about terrorists. We were thinking that some sort of accident had happened. Equipment had failed or a pilot had made a terrible mistake. We were aware that there was a problem, but we, like most other Americans, did not comprehend the extent of the situation. A few minutes later, we saw the second plane hit the remaining tower. Then we knew the nation and the markets were in real trouble. Fairly rapidly, the S&P futures fell to 1079. After a little fluttering, the price rose to the 1087-1088 even range. But we knew that this price was temporary. There would be a far greater price decline. The big S&P futures contract ends electronic trading on the Globex at 8:15 a.m. Central Standard Time. Trading reopens 15 minutes later in the open outcry pits at the CME in Chicago. However, prior to the pits opening, the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ announced that they would be closed for the day. The S&P futures responded by opening at 8:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, but for only 10 minutes. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange wanted to allow traders to exit their positions and clear their books because no one knew what might be in store for us. During those 10 minutes, there was a flurry of activity, and then the S&P followed the lead of the NASDAQ and the NYSE and closed for business. The markets were closed for a week. They did not open until the following Tuesday. The world was shocked and saddened by the attacks, and everyone needed time to clear their heads, consider the situation, and prepare for the markets to open. On Tuesday, September 18th, before the markets opened, Greenspan held a press conference. He announced that the Federal Reserve was lowering interest rates. I think his comments generated even more fear and added another level of uncertainty to some already jittery markets. When Wall Street finally opened, things headed south and continued going down for days. On September 19th, the S&P futures hit a low of 1017.5. On September 20th, the low was 938.5, and it just kept falling. By October 10th, 2002, the S&P futures bottomed out at 767.25. The effects of September 11th were dramatic and long-lasting. Remember our trade that morning. We bought the S&P futures at 1098 even, and the market hit 1102 even. During the course of that year, the S&P fell over 300 points. Of course, it was not just the terrorists that hit the tower. It was fear of other attacks, fear of war, and a lot of national uncertainty. I did not know that our nation would face a disaster on September 11th. I began my day as usual, and I executed my strategy as usual. Lucky for me and my students, part of my strategy is to always use protective stops. We had a position in the market, but we suffered no significant loss because we were prepared. As the market moved down, it hit our stop and removed us from the market. I am a strong believer in the fact that the market will tell you when to exit a trade and move to the sidelines. If your protective stop is hit and you suffer a small loss, it's okay. The market is gently telling you that you're wrong. You made a mistake in analysis or in execution, and you need to regroup. Another breaking news event that I recently traded successfully was the second-term election of President George W. Bush. I knew that the markets were going to respond to the outcome of that race. On Election Day, I traded and I made money. As the election totals were released that evening, the market responded positively, and I made more money. I was long, and my profits kept rolling in throughout the evening. I had a strong feeling about the election. Apparently, many traders shared my view, and we were successful. However, even though I believed that I was on the right side of the market, I used protective stops just in case the market did not agree with my analysis. Another trade that I executed off news was on the Sunday afternoon after Saddam Hussein was captured. I knew that the markets would respond favorably to the news. I bought the market when it opened and made money throughout the evening. It is true that the markets did not follow through with their bullish move for long. However, I made my money when the fire was hot. Again, just in case I was wrong, I used protective stops. I was not totally exposed to the market's uncertainties. Recall that I was an officer in the Air Force. In high-speed jets, there are ejection mechanisms that allow pilots who face severe circumstances to eject from their aircraft and save their lives. I have never had that experience, but I can only assume that having to eject is a fearful event. But doing so may be the only way to save the pilot's life. Using protective stops is the day trader's ejection process. If unexpected news breaks and a trader is in trouble and headed for a potentially perilous situation, his protective stop can save him. He does not have to crash and burn. It took a long time for the markets to recover from the terrorist attack of September 11, 2001. In fact, it took years. However, in late 2004, Wall Street optimism pushed the markets up sharply, and they again returned, even if only briefly, to those 1,100 even and greater levels that we were experiencing at the time of the terrorist attacks. In addition to unexpected news events, there are many scheduled economic reports released each month. Some reports are compiled and released by educational institutions, some by industry watchdogs, and some by governmental agencies. I have selected about a dozen of the reports that I consider generally to be the most important to Wall Street. The order in which the reports are discussed does not reflect their importance. Sometimes a report will have a major impact on the markets, and other times the markets do not seem to care about that particular report at all. It depends on many factors in the overall economy. Nevertheless, it is wise to know about these reports and know when they are being released, so that you can prepare accordingly. The remainder of this chapter discusses some of the most important regularly scheduled news events that you need to monitor. The Federal Reserve reports and announcements. The Federal Reserve, or the Fed, was created during the presidency of Woodrow Wilson in 1913. The purpose of the Fed is to control the United States monetary policy and serves as the nation's bank. It is a powerful agency led by a 7-member board of governors who are appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. In addition to the Board of Governors, the structure of the Fed consists of 12 regional Federal Reserve banks, the Federal Open Market Committee, member banks, and advisory committees. The FOMC holds 8 formal meetings each year. Alan Greenspan chaired the Federal Reserve from 1987 through 2005. When Greenspan spoke, investors across the world paid attention. The Fed has several powerful tools used to control inflation, regulate the monetary supply, and keep the economy on an even keel. First, the Fed controls the discount rate. That is, it controls the interest rate charged to commercial banks and depository banks when money is borrowed from the Fed. It also establishes the reserve requirements for banks. It determines the amount of monetary reserves that member banks must keep to cover deposits. Finally, through its open market operations, the Fed controls the buying and selling of government securities to control the level of reserves in the depository system. If you want to learn more about the Federal Reserve System, their website is www.federalreserve.gov. The site contains a great deal of information, including news releases, statistical data, reports, and other items that may be of interest to you. As I noted, the Fed and its chairman, Alan Greenspan, have the ability to affect the markets. Years ago, my friend David and I were sitting in my office trading the night market. We were both long on the big S&P. Everything was going well for our trade, and we were sitting on the sofa watching a little television. David is a big guy. He is about 6 feet 6 inches tall, and his weight matches his height. I, on the other hand, am much shorter and tip the scales at a significantly lower weight. And a lot better looking, I might add. Suddenly, Alan Greenspan appeared on the screen. Without warning, he was addressing the media and commenting about the bullish market that we were experiencing at that time. For reasons known only to him, he referred to the rising stock prices as nothing more than irrational exuberance. I heard the words, and I lunged for the computer. David was in my way, but I tossed him aside like a rag doll. My money was on the line, and I knew it was in danger. Quickly, I grabbed the mouse and took our long positions to the market. I knew the market was about to dive, and it did. My forceful and fast lunge to the screen saved us thousands. Over the years, Greenspan has held many news conferences and appeared before the Senate and the House often. For some reason, he always seems to spook the market. Be careful. If he is speaking, or if he appears, get your hands on the mouse if you're in an open position. No individual seems to have more power to move the markets than Alan Greenspan or the current chairman of the Federal Reserve. Being the chairman of the Fed is just powerful. Another news event that you need to monitor is the press releases of the Federal Open Market Committee, FOMC. When each of the 8 yearly formal meetings end, there is a press release noting the action, if any, that has been taken. During late 2004 and early 2005, there was consistent movement by the Fed to raise interest rates in an effort to stem the threat of growing inflation. The announcements of FOMC are very carefully watched, and the market quickly and firmly responds. Know when the Fed is releasing reports and do not be taken off guard. If you are a novice, I strongly suggest that you stay out of the market when the Fed is reporting. The market can move very quickly and be extremely volatile during these times. If you are on the wrong side of the move, you will pay a heavy price. However, I confess that I have traded during or just after many of the Fed reports. Remember that I have been trading for about 30 years and I know how to get into and out of the market very quickly. I am not always right in my moves, but I have made money trading this particular news. Generally, I let the news come out and then decide, based on the market indicators, whether to be long, short, or out. If you are on the right side of the move, it can be very lucrative, and you can make some nice profits in a short period of time. Again, let me stress that the Fed is a huge market mover, and if you are not an experienced trader who knows what to expect and how to respond, do not trade this news. Let the market digest it and settle down before you click the trigger. Gross domestic product. Another report that can deliver a whopping blow to the market is the gross domestic product, GDP. The GDP is compiled and reported by the Bureau of Economic Analysis of the United States Department of Commerce. The GDP is generally considered to be the broadest measure of the general health and well-being of the domestic economy. The GDP measures the total output of goods and services produced by labor and materials located in the United States. The GDP provides a panoramic view of the nation's supply and demand. The GDP is released quarterly at 7:30 a.m. However, advance numbers, preliminary numbers, final numbers, and revisions are also regularly published. I suggest that you check the website of the Bureau of Economic Analysis at www.bea.doc.gov to see when the various reports are being issued. The GDP is an important report that is carefully watched by the public. It is used to detect early signs of growth or stagnation. Generally, if the GDP numbers are good and the economy is growing, investors and traders will be encouraged to join the bulls. However, if there is unbridled growth, it may arouse a fear of some economic problems ahead. Regardless, the GDP is an important report, and every serious trader needs to pay close attention to it. I suggest being on the sidelines when these numbers are released. Let them come out and be digested by the market movers before you risk your account balance. Consumer Price Index. The Consumer Price Index, CPI, is the most widely used indicator to measure inflation. Each month, the Department of Labor takes a specific basket of goods and services and determines the prices for those items if purchased in urban metropolitan areas. The basket of goods always contains the same items and includes food, housing, apparel, medical care, transportation, education, recreation, among other goods and services. One can take the price of the goods 1 month and compare the price to the previous month or the previous year. The CPI is considered to be the most reliable reflection of inflation in the consumer sector. It is used by governmental agencies as well as by labor and industry to guide economic decisions. The release of the CPI may have a significant impact on Wall Street. If the numbers reflect high inflation, investors may fear a slowing of the economy as businesses and consumers are forced to tighten their belts and stretch their dollars. If inflation appears to be too high, or if the financial markets are nervous, the release of the CPI may put the bears in charge, or if inflation is minimal, the bulls may flex their muscles. The Department of Labor releases the CPI around the middle of each month. The release dates should be available on the website for the U.S. Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics. However, the release dates are sometimes changed. Therefore, check with Barron's, www.barrons.com, or some other source to determine the exact date of the CPI each month. This is an important economic release. Don't be caught off guard. The Producer Price Index. Like the CPI, the Producer Price Index, PPI, tracks price changes over time for a specific set of goods and services. However, there are some significant differences between the two indices. The CPI gauges consumer prices, and the PPI gauges producer prices. There are thousands of PPIs. Every industry within the United States economy has a PPI. All of these individual indices are weighed and reflected in one big PPI that is released by the Department of Labor monthly. One of the major uses of the PPI is an early warning economic indicator. The PPI foreshadows price changes before they appear in the retail sector. This information is used for many things, but one of its major uses is by the Federal Reserve in determining fiscal and monetary policy. Like the CPI, the PPI is released on various dates, but is usually released sometime in the middle of the month. Also, like the CPI, depending on the particular circumstances, the PPI may have a significant impact on the market. Know when it is being released and be prepared. Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index, MCSI, and the Consumer Confidence Index, CCI. Each month, the University of Michigan conducts a survey to determine how consumers feel about the economy. The survey is designed to determine how consumers feel about spending. Are they buying cars, houses, clothes, and other goods and services, or are they holding tightly to their purse strings? 5,000 households are surveyed each month, and the final survey results for the prior month are released on the first business day of each month. A preliminary report is released on the 10th of each month, except for weekends. The MCSI is a lagging indicator. That is, it is responding to how the economy has already changed. Nevertheless, it can be very important because it can confirm an economic pattern. Are consumers continuing to spend month after month? Or are there signs of a recession and a pullback in consumer spending? Manufacturers, retailers, banks, and governmental agencies are some of the entities that may make financial decisions based on this indicator. If consumers are slowing their spending, businesses may decide to freeze hiring or reduce personnel. They may lower inventories or slow production. The reverse may also be true. If the numbers are strong, businesses may choose to expand and grow. They may invest more in production and personnel in order to meet consumer expectations. Another measure of consumer confidence is the Consumer Confidence Index, CCI. These data are collected and released by the Consumer Confidence Board. Like the Michigan report, it is just a survey. There are no data collected on actual spending. Consumers are surveyed about their plans to spend or not to spend. I know some traders who believe these reports to be nothing more than a bunch of hogwash. I've seen times when consumer sentiment data were released and the market did not seem to care. However, the market seems to respond to a noticeable change in consumer sentiment. Certainly, a sustained pattern of confidence or fear by consumers is significant. Regardless of personal opinions, many analysts who watch these numbers carefully believe them to be important and very accurate. As a trader, you need to be aware of when these numbers are reported. Do not make the mistake of being in the market without a protective stop when the numbers are released. You do not want to be taken by surprise by what could be a significant market shift. Again, there are a number of sources where you can gain information about the release. Barron's is one source. You can also visit my website at www.dtitrader.com. where I publish a weekly and daily review of news releases for my students. Construction spending. The Department of Commerce gathers data about both residential and commercial construction. These numbers may be very volatile. That is, they may change greatly from month to month based on weather or other factors that affect construction. The numbers are also revised significantly. These numbers are released on the first business day of the month. The data released are for 2 months prior. The report is released at 9 a.m. Again, these numbers can move the market. If the economy is already showing signs of strength, good numbers can add to the rosy picture. If there is some weakness in the economy, bad numbers can be the proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back. At other times, it seems that the market could care less. Just know when the numbers are being aired and don't be caught off guard. Housing starts. Housing starts differ from construction spending in that only residential units are counted. Single-family homes and apartments are tracked through the issuance of building permits. These numbers are also reported by the Department of Commerce. They are released at 7:30 a.m. during the middle of each month. This is a leading indicator. That is, it can be used as an economic predictor. This is a tricky report to gauge. Regional data are gathered and compiled into a single report. The data can change because weather or a crisis in one region may alter the actual number of houses that are constructed. I live on the Gulf Coast, and hurricanes can be a real problem for us. Consider the hurricanes in Florida. In 2004, that state experienced tremendous weather problems. Many houses that were planned were not built as scheduled, and many other houses were rebuilt after having been destroyed. Other geographical areas may struggle with mudslides or earthquakes. All of these weather-related events affect housing starts. Therefore, housing start numbers can be extremely volatile and revised significantly based on actual conditions. One would think that strong housing start numbers were good for the bears. However, that is not always the case, because when housing starts are very strong, it may signal inflationary conditions. The housing starts are closely correlated to interest rates. Generally, during times of very low interest rates, housing starts will be strong because money for housing purchases is readily available at low rates. High rates may put a damper on buying and building. Again, housing starts are important, and Wall Street looks at these numbers. Sometimes they move the market, and sometimes they do not. Just be prepared to react to the market's response, whatever it is. Institute of Supply Management, ISM. This is a leading indicator that is used by both the government and economists. The report is issued on the first business day of the month. It measures both manufacturing and non-manufacturing purchasing. If there is a lag in industrial purchasing, there will be a slump in the economy. Again, this indicator can serve as a predictor of what the economy has in store during the months ahead. This report can signal a slowdown or a revving up of the economy. It can be a major market mover. Be sure that you remember to look out for it and its effect on the market. Employment Cost Index, ECI, and Economic Situation. On the last Thursday in April, July, November, and January, the Bureau of Labor Statistics releases the results of its survey of employer payrolls. The report is aired quarterly and is released at 7:30 a.m. Central Time. This survey tracks the cost of labor, wages, and benefits for employers. If wages are rising, it may be an omen of rising inflationary conditions. Another jobs report issued by the Bureau of Labor Statistics is the Report of Economic Situation. This report gives the unemployment numbers and the change in the unemployment rate. It also tracks the creation of new jobs. This report is very timely and is geographically broad and covers almost every manufacturing sector as well as industrial sector in the United States economy. It is deemed by many traders to be a good snapshot view of the overall health of the economy. It has been my experience that during times when the economy is good, the market does not care very much about jobs reports. Other indicators take precedence. However, during poor economic times, job reports are watched carefully, and if the numbers are bad, this report can tank the market. Watch out for it. The Department of Labor, the Federal Reserve, the University of Michigan, and numerous other entities issue reports regularly. Before you begin your trading day, know the reports that are scheduled. I teach my students to always be aware of the news events that lie ahead. There are services that you can purchase that will give you this information. For example, my students have access to a report that I publish that is used as a pre-market planner. It lists the scheduled news events and the times of the releases. Financial newspapers and magazines also detail this information. Barron's, a financial newspaper that is published weekly, does a good job of detailing the financial reports from the past week and the reports for the upcoming week. Sometimes Barron's also predicts how the market will respond when the anticipated news comes out. It really does not matter how you learn of scheduled news events. It matters that you know that the news is breaking and that you prepare for it. My general policy is that it is best to be out of the market when scheduled economic reports are published. Because some of these reports are major movers of the markets, you do not want to be caught on the wrong side of an avalanche. Often, as the news is released, there will be a quick and strong market move. You may think that the market is going to soar. However, within minutes or even seconds, it can shift and head down twice as fast as it went up. Generally, after the news breaks, it takes about 3 or 4 minutes for the markets to churn and digest the information. Then exchanges begin to settle down, and it's possible to analyze the data and their impact and get into the market, hopefully on the winning side. News is extremely important to traders because news moves the markets. There are two types of news: unexpected breaking news and scheduled news events. It is impossible to predict breaking news. However, you do not have to be totally at the mercy of breaking news. You can and should always trade with a protective stop so that if an event happens, your stop will take you out of the market without a major loss. Remember the cardinal rule: never trade without a stop. Scheduled economic reports also move the market. Announcements by the Fed, the Department of Labor, the Department of Commerce, or other agencies or organizations are regularly aired. As a trader, it is your job to know when the reports are coming out and be prepared for them. My advice, especially for beginners, is to exit all positions before news is aired. If you do not have any positions in the market, stay out until the news is broadcast and investors have had time to respond to it. Do not ignore the news. News is too important. Respect it and preserve your capital. Lessons learned. Be prepared for breaking news events by using protective stops. Each day, before you begin trading, check for releases of scheduled economic reports. Some of these events can send the market soaring up or down. Stay out of the market when scheduled news is breaking. Let the market settle down before risking your money. Don't try to predict the news or its effect. You can't. Don't be lured into a market that is responding to news. The market may lunge up rapidly, but if the move is news-based, it may fall twice as quickly.